This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Well, good morning, America. Once again, this is Gun Owners News Hour. I'm your host, Bill Frady, and today I have a special treat for you because my guest today, which I don't normally have guests, but we're trying a new thing, he is considered to be, by one source that I respect very highly, to be the most read man in the gun writing niche. And I'm talking about my friend. He's a writer. He is an instructor. He's an activist. And his name is Dean Weingarten. Good evening, or good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. I'm very glad to be here.
All right.
It's always a pleasure.
Likewise. The pleasure is always mine. Now, Dean, if you've listened to Lock and Load before, you know that Dean is he's been with me many times. He joins me a couple of times a week. But today we're going to talk about something that is very unique amongst what Dean writes about. And before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about your career. Now, you started out, you're a former military officer, yeah?
Yes, I was an active duty military officer for about 3 years. I've been a sworn law enforcement officer at different times. And I spent about 30 years in the Department of Defense in development, testing, research, and evaluation. And I retired about 7 years ago and took up writing full time. I actually wrote my first article for pay, I think it was back in 1981 or 2. And so I've been writing for a while, but I didn't really take off full time writing until about 7 years ago.
So amongst all of that, You've accumulated a backlog of, or a archive of stories in excess of 3,000 different articles.
Yes, there's over 3,000 articles published, most of them on the internet, places like AmmoLand, The Truth About Guns, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, Concealed Nation. I wrote a series of articles for POP USA.
Of the things that you write about, have you written more, and I know what we're going to talk about today, but have you written more about one certain type of our topic than the other? I mean, you cover them all. You cover equipment.
I really, really cover the gamut. I do a lot of writing on the political aspect of gun ownership, what sort of laws are being considered, and I try to dig deeply into the details of who's pushing it and whether votes are likely and that sort of thing. I have become essentially a constitutional scholar on the Second Amendment, and know the arguments and what's been pushed back and forth there very well. I write a little bit of original research, some of which we're going to talk about today, and I enjoy the original research because I have a background as a scientist. So it's a lot of different things, but I've become particularly known for what we've done with defense against bears, which is a very popular subject. People just seem to have an interest in what to do when you're threatened by a big furry creature that wants to kill you. I think it's genetic.
There's about 16 million hunters in the United States, so there's plenty of places and plenty of people that go out and get in the bear's habitat, isn't there?
There are, and there's roughly about 1 million bears in North America. Most of them are black bears, but there's in the neighborhood of 50,000, 60,000, or maybe a little more grizzly and brown bears, and then there's 10, 15,000. The polar bear numbers are very hard to tell, and even though their populations have been increasing significantly since the middle 70s, it's hard to know those exact numbers. And the polar bears are the least likely to come in contact with humans, so we don't get very many polar bear attacks. But on the other hand, they're very dangerous creatures, and they tend to see people as just another weird kind of seal.
So what we're going to talk about today is Dean has done an extensive, of all the people that I know, and I know a few, of all the people that I know, Dean writes about incidents, real world incidents where they've occurred. He has done an extensive study on what kind of guns people use to defend themselves against bears. He's done an extensive study on how good is bear spray against bears. And we're going to talk about that today simply because a lot of people who are not hunters, I mean, true, tell me if this is true or not. A lot of people who are not hunters run into bears when they're just out there hiking around.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if we look at incidents in which bear spray is used more so than firearms, the majority of those are people who are not hunters, which makes sense. I mean, if you've got a perfectly good firearm in your hands, it would be kind of silly to drop it and try to get a hold of bear spray. So there are a lot of people who encounter bears in the wild who are not hunters, and some of them get into trouble. I mean, bear attacks are relatively rare, but they do occur out there, and there's a lot more attacks than there are fatalities, and there are a lot of cases where no human is injured, but the attack is stopped by somebody with a firearm or bear spray as well.
Yeah, that part is always sort of interesting to me. So that's what we're going to discuss today, because more and more people, is some of this happening because we're encroaching more and more on the habitat?
Well, there's some of that. I mean, what happened is that by about 1900, we had reduced the populations of large predators to very, very low numbers in the lower 48 states. And we did it for conventional wisdom that these large predators were dangerous. They competed with humans for prey animals such as deer and elk and other prey that we are interested in hunting ourselves. And so the number of bears in the United States had dropped to probably the lowest level by roughly 1900 to 1920 in that area. Before that time period, everybody understood that bears were dangerous. They were considered vermin in most places, certainly up until the 1950s or later. And they were shot reflexively on sight when you saw them because it was understood they were dangerous things to have around. But after 1920 into the 50s and 60s, we started into seeing bears differently. I call it Disneyfication. And then by the 70s, we decided that bears needed significant protections, and we started including them as game animals and putting seasons on them and saying they couldn't be hunted, and we wanted their populations to rise. And they started rising, and they've been rising very rapidly in the last 30 to 40 years. So now we have burgeoning populations of bears, and they're starting to go back to habitat that they had before 1900. But people have already moved into those places and are used to living there without bears, and now the bears are increasing. So it's really, you get more conflicts. You get more bears, you get more people, you get more interaction, and the bears are not being taught that people are very dangerous predators themselves, and it's best to just stay away. So bold bears that are willing to compete with people for food supplies have more interactions with people, and you get more dangerous interactions. And that's what we're seeing.
All right. We're going to kick off with that in just a second. We're coming up on the first hold up. Now, for all of the first break, for everybody that wants to check out what Dean does, a lot of his archive stories can be found at Ammoland.com. In addition to Truth About Guns, he has an archive there, Jews, for the – which one is that one?
JPFO. JPFO. Most of those are in print. I think you can find some of it online, but they have a publication. They go out every so often, and I have a few articles in there.
Roger that. So stay tuned for that. We're about to embark upon that because this is something that, seems to be happening a whole lot more than it used to. And that's why we're going to go down that road as I'm waiting.
Yeah, the frequency is definitely increasing.
Yes, sir. So hang on for this. Stand by. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table, they understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor's leading high-value solution for body armor. AR-500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Brinklin Armory makes top-quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made-in-America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do, too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word LOCK AND LOAD at franklinarmory.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing, space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Some of the best sounds you'll ever hear are generic, safe, effective, even money-saving, just like FDA-approved generic drugs. Even if they don't come in the exact same color or shape as their brand name equivalent, they have the same key ingredients and go through a rigorous review process. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist today and visit fda.gov/generic drugs. Generics are safe, effective, and can save you money. You'll like the sound of that.
And welcome back, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour, and today I have a treat for you. And we're going to get with it. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. He's a writer. He is an instructor. He is an activist. And he is the only one I know about that has ever written about bears or bear attacks. So let's get off on this. There is no one magical caliber.
No.
Against a bear, is there?
No, there isn't. And where this started, actually, was a few years ago. I was on an internet forum, and there's a lot of misinformation on the internet, believe it or not. And somebody was saying that, oh, handguns are useless for defense against bears. There's just all these hundreds of people that have tried to defend against bears with handguns that have gotten severely mauled. They're just all over the place. I just wasn't seeing it. I mean, I follow this stuff pretty regularly. I watch it, and I'd seen a few cases where handguns were used successfully, but I hadn't found any places where they'd failed. And so I suggested, well, if you have all these real-world examples where they failed, let's see at least a couple of them. Couldn't be too hard since you say there's so many. And the respondent, the correspondent, never came up with any. And so I thought, well, what is the real number? I mean, are handguns really ineffective? Are they effective? We don't know. Nobody had done really good work on trying to figure out whether they were effective or not. So I and some of my colleagues started collecting cases where people had actually fired a handgun in defense against the bear. And we use that as a criteria, the firing of a handgun, because all of the defensive measures that are generally discussed, which is bear spray and handguns or long guns and firearms, they all have the same problem with access. If you can't access them, they don't do you any good. You know, if your rifle is slung over your shoulder with an empty chamber, it's going to be hard to get it into action in time during a bear attack. And if you have a holstered handgun, it's, roughly equivalent to having a holstered can of bear spray. If you have the bear spray in a pack or your handgun in a pack, it's the same thing. So it really is silly to consider access problems. What we should be looking at is how effective are they when they're actually used. And so that was our criteria. A handgun had to be actually fired in a defensive bear situation, defense against the bear. And we started collecting numbers. And I want to emphasize that we did not cherry pick. Every case we could find where a handgun was fired in defensive action against the bear is included in the database. And in the articles, I even include cases where both handguns and long guns were fired. I include those just to show people what happened. I don't include them in the statistics because they're obviously a combined arms situation, but just to show that we're aware of that case, and we didn't include it because it was a combined effect, but we show people what happened. Every one of our cases is documented in one way or another. They're real. We have a time, a place, a person, usually, and we have a small, short account of what happened. And a link. Most of them have links. There's a few that were in print publications where the link is just to a book, and it's not always so easy to access everything on the Internet. And sometimes we have personal accounts with pictures and things that isn't published, but we have gone to considerable trouble to make sure these are real incidents that really happen that we can document. And when we came up with 37 incidents, I published the first article saying, well, how effective are handguns in defending against bears? And at that point, we had only found one failure of 37 instances. So they were 97% effective. And then we did some more gathering of information. We got up to 63 incidents, and that we had found, three incidents. It was down to like 94% effective, and then we found a few more, and we're up to 73 incidents and 96% effective at the moment. So it's bouncing around right around in that 95% or a little more category. So these are rare occurrences, and so it's hard to get good statistics. The more incidents you get, the better. And part of the problem, and there is a bias here, is most instances of the handgun defensive use against bears, I firmly believe, are not recorded anywhere, or if they're reported to police, they're not published anywhere, because if you have some trapper up in the middle of Alaska and a bear who's never seen humans before decides that trapper might be worth eating, and the trapper shoots it with a pistol, the odds of that trapper going to the trouble to report that bear to the Alaskan authorities are small.
Well, when you shoot,
they're probably just going to walk away.
You shoot, though, with anything.
And I have found there's a couple instances I'm investigating recently where even though the incident was reported to the authorities, it never made the news. A case where some people were recovering a moose and got charged by a bear, and the person in the lead had a 10-millimeter Glock pistol, and it was a flat-out surprise attack from about 10 yards. And this fellow was practiced. He had practiced. He drew from the pistol and double-tapped the bear as it was coming over a log at them and killed it. Dead right there. I mean, it dropped 10 feet from him with his 10-millimeter Glock pistol. So, and it never got published. And I corresponded with the people it happened to and got the whole story along with some great pictures. And one of the comments that the person I talked to made, he said, we tried to get this somebody to write up this story, somebody to publish it. He said, nobody was interested, which I found bizarre. I mean, it's a great story. I mean, you have this large grizzly bear. That was about an 800 to 850-pound boar grizzly charging these people, directly attacking them. They drop it right virtually at their feet with a couple of shots from a pistol.
Right.
And it wasn't considered newsworthy. So I am convinced that there are many more attacks that occur where pistols are successfully used, but they just aren't reported. They're not considered news if no human was injured. And so there is a bias in the reporting of these attacks where if someone is injured, it's much more likely to be reported in the news than to be caught up in our data collection effort.
Right. We're coming up on the first, on the next break. And one thing about it, like you're talking about a trapper in Alaska. With them, if they kill an animal like that, they're sort of expected to harvest the animal, aren't they, to a certain degree?
Right, but if they don't have a and what happens, too, you're absolutely right, that's another part of it. If it's legal for them, and black bears are considered a pest in much of Alaska, well, they'll just harvest it. But there'll never be a recorded instance that they did it because the bear was stalking them or attacking them directly. Right. You know, it'll just be one of their pelts that gets sold when they turn in the rest of their pelts. And you see that quite a bit happen to
Let me get you hold. Let me get you hold right there. We'll be right back talking about bears, defense against bears. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Needs a Boyd's hardwood gun stock? Everyone. Crack stock? Back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's hardwood gun stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table. They understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor is the leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump pushed back at criticism that a Syrian withdrawal is damaging U.S. credibility, betraying Kurdish allies and opening the door for a possible resurgence of the Islamic State. He also touted a ceasefire agreement that seemed at risk as Turkey and Kurdish fighters differed over what it required and whether combat was actually halted.
I just spoke to President Erdogan, Turkey. We're doing very, very well with Turkey. There's a ceasefire. There was some sniper fire this morning. There was mortar fire this morning that was eliminated quickly, and they're back to the full pause. We have ISIS totally under guard.
The president called his Syria approach, quote, a little bit unconventional. The president contended that the Turkish president, as well as the Syrian Kurdish fighters the Turks are battling, all agree that the U.S. brokered ceasefire was the right step and we're currently complying with it. This is USA Radio News.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-985-1813 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-985-1813 now. Again, that's 800-985-1813. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. I am Bill Frady, and my guest today is Dean Weingarten, writer, activist, instructor, and researcher. A lot of people that fall prey to bear are these bow hunters that go out there and they harvest elk. And let's talk about the guy who went out there with the guide. And he ran away, and the guide got killed even after he hosed the bear down with the bear spray.
Oh, gosh, it's a tragic story. It was in, I think, Montana. And, let's see, Upton was the guide who was killed. And they had, I don't know the name of the archery hunter right off, but he had made a shot on an elk, and it was a pretty good shot. But it was getting toward dark, and they came out the next day to look for the elk. And they found it, and, you know, it was dead. And they were doing the processing that you need to do. And the guide had bear spray on him, and he had a 10-millimeter Glock in a chest holster. And you can understand kind of what happened. He took the chest holster and the Glock off and put them with a pack several yards away from where he was dressing out the elk. I wouldn't get them all full of blood and gore and everything, but it was a bad mistake. And then suddenly, two bears are charging them out of nowhere, and they grab the guide and start mauling him. And then the client runs to the pack where the pistol is, and he tries to shoot the bear. But he can't get pistol off. He has no training in this. He's not really familiar with firearms. And he pulls the trigger and he tries to find some way. He thinks the safety's on and he's desperately trying to get it to go off so that he can shoot the bear. But he can't get it. Well, then the bear leaves the guide and attacks him. And he grabs him by, I think, the ankle and swinging him around. He's got the pistol, but he can't get it to work. So he throws the pistol toward the guide, and it doesn't make it to him. And then the bear goes back, lets go of him, goes back and attacks the guide some more, and the guy runs away to access get where phone services to call help, because there's two bears there and they're attacking him and the pistol doesn't work. And then at some point during this, Upton accessed the bear spray that he had and sprayed the bear, at least the one bear that was attacking him. I think one was like a year old cub, and got plenty of bear spray on it, but he still ended up getting killed. And in the meantime, the client had gotten up high enough to where he could get cell phone coverage, and he called in rescuers, and they came and they found where the bears were, but they only had, you know, 20 or 30 minutes of daylight left, and I don't know if they were armed at that point or not. And they didn't land until they went away and came back the next morning, and eventually they found two bears at the scene, and the bears were trapped and shot. Well, actually, the sow, the really aggressive, they trapped the youngster, and then the sow charged them, and they had to shoot it to stop it. And when they did the investigation, they found that Upton was carrying the Glock Model 20, 10mm, without a round in the chamber, which is why the client could never get it to go off. And he actually, when he was trying to get it to go off, it appears that he hit the magazine releases trying to find some control that'll make this pistol work, and that dropped the magazine. And so then even if Upton had been able to get to the pistol, there was no round in the chamber, there was no magazine, there was no ammunition with it, it wouldn't have done any good. So, and the bear spray failed completely as far as we can tell, and Upton was killed, and the client was mauled enough that he had to go to the hospital and get a few stitches anyway. So it was a really tragic circumstance.
Now, now these guys were bow hunters, and they left the kill out for a while.
Well, it was late in the evening when they were tracking it, and they didn't think they could get it before dark, and there's a lot of bears in the area. I mean, you know, it's not unreasonable to think that they would come back the next morning, and that's what they did. And then they found it. And there were no bears around when they found it. And they had just about finished processing it when they got attacked.
Now, for hunters that hunt elk with a weapon, with a firearm, don't the grizzly bears hear that shot go off and think that's a dinner bear?
Yes. And also, there's a couple of things going on here. One, that's true. Yeah, because the bears are so protected by the law, they become very aggressive. And when they've learned that during hunting season, when they hear a shot, there very likely is a large game animal down, and they will first, if the hunters have been successfully in processing the animal and getting out of there, they leave a gut pile, and the bears find that like a snack or a significant source of calories. And so they learn to associate these gunshots with food instead of danger. And there have been many, many cases where people who are out hunting, legitimately hunting, get attacked by bears when they're processing game animals they have shot. So it's a problem. And it seems to me to be exacerbated in these areas where there is no hunting season on the bears, because the bears have learned. They don't have anything to fear from humans. I mean, they make some noises and stuff, but they never really do anything to you. And once they associate humans and food, and they're not afraid of humans, you get some bad results.
We have maybe about 2.5 minutes left. Real quick, what about the guy who was running his dogs, and they were chasing a bear, and he went after him, and the bear, he thought the bear was going to take off.
Yeah, that's in Colorado, and I interviewed him, and it was a great story. And he almost did. He had a Glock 20 as well, but he had
He had a round in it.
Mild loads, personal defense loads in a hollow point. And this was a pretty good-sized black bear, about 400-pound cinnamon bear. And it was unusual because this was a professional guide, and he'd hunted a lot of bears. And he said, you know, bears just, when they see a human, they just run off. Well, this one didn't. And he was exercising his dogs, getting them ready for hunting season, and this bear came very close to his house, just within a couple hundred yards of his house, and the dogs caught the scent of it, and they just took off on it, and they had to chase him down. And then in one of the vehicles that they had trying to get to the dogs to get them off the bear and get them back, because they weren't close to the actual chasing bears before the season started, in one of the vehicles he had a Glock, 10 millimeter, and he almost didn't take it with him, but he shoved it in his waistband when he went to try to grab the dogs off the bear. And this was a very aggressive bear who didn't like being chased by all these dogs. And when he saw the hunter, who was not hunting at the time, the guide, we should say, come up to the area, he focused on him and he started to go after him. And part of the problem was that the hunter was very attached to, it still is, I'm sure, very attached to his dogs, and he didn't want to hit the dogs, so he was being very careful about how he fired, and he fired at the body of the bear rather than the head because he was afraid he would hit one of his dogs, and that kind of delayed his response. And then he saw the bear was getting to him, so he turned to like try to jump out of the way of the bear, and there was a series of boulders there. He had to hop from one boulder to the other.
I'll tell you what, let's hold up here so we can finish the story before we run out of time here. You can find Dean's stuff. You can find the articles he has written, a huge swath of them sitting right at ammoland.com. In addition to the truthaboutguns.com, JPFO, all kinds of places. Then his articles go out and get reprinted all over the place as well. So, I mean, it's, there's no reason not to go check out what he says. When we get back, we're going to talk, finish this story and talk about what you should do when you do go out in the wild. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Dehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes and the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
One more time before the weekend kicks off in earnest. This is Gun Owners News Hour. We've been talking to Dean Weingarten. We were talking about the guy who was running his dogs, training his dogs, and then he just happened to come up on this little 400-pound bear. Finish his story for us before we move on to the next little bit here.
Yes, his name is Bridger Petrini, and he fired a shot or two at the body of the bear because he didn't want to hit his dogs. The bear was coming at him. They turned to try to get out of the way. He just made a little distance hopping to, I think, one or two boulders away when the bear grabbed him and knocked him off the boulder, and they're on a steep hillside, mountainside, and they're tumbling down this mountainside, and Bridger is trying to shoot the bear, and he's probably having some success, and the bear is trying to kill him and is tearing him up with some success, and finally he's able to shoot the bear and kill it and stop the attack, and it's a detailed interview, and it's one of the better stories I think I have. I wanted to mention a little bit about...
Before you do that, what did they have to do to get the bear to let go of him after he killed him?
Well, they had to cut the head off the bear because it was just the jaw was locked onto his muscle, on his leg, and because of the way of the boulders and the brush and the hillside was, they could not get the bear's jaw off of his leg. And his muscle, his calf muscle, was just turning gray. You know, it wasn't getting blood. And so finally one of them pulled out a pocket knife. I said, we'll just have to cut the bear's head off. So they just cut the bear's head off. And once they got the bear's head off, they could relieve pressure on the jaws so that they could pry them apart and get them off of this leg.
So what were you about to say?
I was going to say that we were talking a little bit about bears that where the attacks don't register because they have a license. And that happened to Kim Woodman up in Alaska. He used a 10-millimeter on a grizzly later, but he had to defend himself against the bear early. One of the few people that have had to do it twice that I know of. And he had a .338 Magnum at the time he was hunting moose, and he hears a noise, and he turns around and hears a big grizzly bear sneaking up on him, and he yells at it, and it just starts aggressively coming at him. He has to shoot it, and he was so close he couldn't even use the scope, and he knocked the bear out because the bullet creased the skull and knocked it out, and he thought it was dead. And then he hears something, and he has to go back and shoot it again. But he had a tag for a grizzly bear at the time, so that bear was just counted as another legally hunted and harvested grizzly. There was no mention ever that he had successfully defended himself from a grizzly attack.
But that's sort of an exception to the rule, isn't it? That's not what normally happens.
Well, it probably happens more than we know. Because, like I said, there's no statistics held I think it happens far more with black bears than it does with grizzlies.
Right.
because there aren't very, you know, grizzly tags are hard to come by even in Alaska. But black bears are common and as a pest in all over the country. And most of the wild black bears attack people with far less frequency as for the number of bears as a rate. There's so many black bears that the attacks are probably about as many as happen with grizzlies. And when they do attack, it tends to be predatory, and it gives people who have a firearm an excellent chance to defend themselves, because usually it's just not a sudden, furious rush from close range. They usually try to sneak up on people, and they're trying to check out if that this new prey they're trying out is dangerous or not. And that gives plenty of time to defend against them.
I've seen a lot of videos of, the video of the guy with the bears coming in on him, and he shoots the bear, and I think he had bird shot in the shotgun, and he spun the bear around and everything. Why would you go at a bear? Why did he do that again?
Well, I think he was just overconfident. He had dealt with a lot of bears in his, and he received training or propaganda or whatever it was that, you know, you just have to tell these bears they're not wanted and they'll leave. And this bear wasn't having anything of it. And so he figured he would just shout at the bear, shoot near it or whatever, and it would run away. But this bear decided, no, I'm the boss here. And it came at him, and it's really a revealing video. And he did shoot at the bear with birdshot at fairly close range. I think he hit it in one of the front paws because it sort of stumbles and goes into a somersault. And it gives him enough time to get away.
Yeah.
Which was, so it worked. But I was thinking, if I had a bear coming at me like that, I would be trying to kill the bear.
Well, I mean, he ran at the bear. He ran at the bear with the birdshot.
He went up toward it, and then the bear came back toward him, and he's retreating as the bear is coming toward him.
Right.
He doesn't, and then as the bear gets within about 50 feet, that's when he shoots the shot that causes it to stumble and gives him enough time to get away. Not by a heck of a lot. That was a very dangerous thing to do.
Right. So let's do a little lightning round of questions real quick so we can get a lot of material in here if we can. Now, you've done enough research to, you've seen all calibers work on bears. So if you're carrying a gun and if it's a 9mm 38 Special 357 Magnum and a bear is charging you, what kind of ammo should you have and where should you be aiming at the bear to stop the charge?
Well, you prefer to have a bullet that will penetrate a fair amount because bears are pretty big, tough animals. So a solid hard cast lead bullet, a full metal jacketed will work. And if it's designed to penetrate, that's better. On black bears, it's not quite as critical because they're just smaller.
Right.
And so bullets that will work on humans will usually work on black bears. It's far better to just have a gun than the type of ammo. But yes, you want a bullet that will penetrate. And while 22s have been used successfully to defend against a number of bears, you have to be very precise, and they don't have a lot of power, and it'll probably kill the bear, but you're better off with something a little bit more powerful than a 22.
What would the
38 9mm up?
Okay, 38 9mm.
Especially for black bears.
Is it better?
Even more for grizzlies.
Is it better to go hunting for something that, in the apex predator's backyard, is it better to go hunting as a pair and stay pretty tight, or what?
Oh, yeah. We've seen numerous cases where because there were two hunters, one could defend the other. And if one person is getting mauled, that's when a pistol can be used very effectively to shoot the bear, drive it off, or kill it. Definitely a pair is much safer than being solo. And if you have multiple people, but it's hard to hunt effectively if you have a lot of people all close together.
Right.
But if people are close together, and there's multiple people, they can usually back off a bear by yelling at it, throwing rocks at it, things like that. But they have to be close enough together that they reinforce each other. Even a few yards apart, we've seen cases where bears will attack people individually, even though there are significant number there. I just found out, I haven't even published this yet, an account about the Svalbard polar bear that killed a guy in a defensive attack, and he wounded another one, where they had a .22 pistol, and they were about 50 feet apart, and I don't know how many rounds were in the pistol, but it's sad. It would be comical if it weren't so sad.
Right.
The polar bear grabbed one of them and was attacking him. The other guy shot at the polar bear's head, from about 50 feet away. Then the polar bear let go of the one guy, ran over and attacked the guy who had the pistol. The guy with the pistol, instead of holding on to the pistol, throws the pistol to the first guy that was attacked, and then he tries to shoot at the bear from some distance. Then the bear lets go of that guy and goes back to the first guy and attacks him again. And he throws the pistol back to the other guy. I mean, you know, it's this terrible routine. And it probably, it was a .22 in Europe, owned by almost certainly a Norwegian, that probably had an 8-round capacity or so. And they'd fired a couple of warning shots to try to get the bear to stop before it got to them. When they did the autopsy on the bear, after the one person had been severely wounded and the other killed, they found 3 shots that hit the polar bear in the head, but none of them hit the brain cavity, and so it wasn't deterred.
We're about to run out of time. And you'll do this again, won't you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's see. Dean. So multiple, and bear spray does have some value.
Yeah.
If you can't carry a pistol, you know, if you're in a place where they don't let you have a gun, if you don't like guns, bear spray offers a lot better alternative than nothing.
Words to go by. Between, we'll have Dean back again another time, and when we do, we will continue on with this because this is an ongoing saga that he is the only one that I know of that covers. So I wanted to give you a little special treat with Mr. Weingarten. Thank you very much for joining me today, sir.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
If you want to hear more of Dean, you can catch him on Wednesday nights and Friday nights on Lock and Load with Bill Frady, which is also carried here at Genesis Communications, which is me, by the way. So all of that notwithstanding, just remember this. If you would be so kind, keep your head up, stay aware. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
Today's insulated vacuum mugs keep coffee so hot that it can burn your mouth. That's why there is Burnout, the temperature-regulating travel mug developed by real rocket scientists. Burnout's Drink Now technology quickly absorbs and stores the heat from your coffee. It brings your coffee to a drinkable temperature in minutes, then keeps it there for hours without electronics. No more burning your mouth. No more waiting for your coffee to cool. Fight the fire. Keep the heat. Learn more at burnoutmugs.com.
The Roman legions, the samurai, and the knights of the round table, they understood body armor has long been a necessary tool. Today, AR-500 armor sets the standard for steel core body armor. Reimagining ballistic steel, AR-500 armor employs a fragmentation and spalling coating to mitigate damage, giving you that second chance to stay in the fight. AR-500 armor's leading high-value solution for body armor. AR500armor.com. Join the Armored Republic and stay in the fight.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.